Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Southwest Airlines makes a change to their in-flight service, and Barcelona joins the list of destinations placing limitations on travelers. Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, we talk about the danger of summer heat waves to travelers and the importance of doing your homework if you're traveling to a destination known for summer heat.
One attraction which is unique to California cities each year is the State Fair, which we host right here in the capital city. At 11:35, we'll take you out to the fair and share a little about all the fun things there are to do at the State Fair this year.
California has the highest gas prices and the most outdoor attractions in the country. So, where does our state fall on the list of best and worst states on road trips? Well, we'll fill you in at 11:45.
Our odds and ends segment at 11:55, we revisit the topic of wheelchair grifters in airports. We've shamed these we-just-want-to-get-on-early people before, but now there's a new twist or two about these it's-all-about-me travelers.
Here every Saturday at 11 a.m. with information to make you a smarter traveler, right here with the Travel Guys. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and boy, I'll tell you, it's going to get hot.
Yeah,
but, you know,
wasn't that humorous? She was. I listened to the weather gal there. She was saying a heat, you know, warning or whatever it is in effect for today. And I thought to myself, heat? Heck, you wait till about next Wednesday or Thursday. You have no idea what heat is, because it's only going to be about 100 today. 100 is going to look like San Francisco in the summertime by the time we get to the middle of next week. Good
Lord! Did you notice the top of the news started with travel news? How many people went through. They were expecting the biggest crowd through the TSA.
It was
down a little bit from the prediction, but still, you know, there's going to be 32 million travelers going to pass through the TSA gates.
I saw
in the next couple
that
of days.
Every news feed, you know, all week, because we do this news segment, I get these feeds from all over the travel industry. And every one of them led off with, you know, how many people are going to pass through TSA on Friday or Saturday, or how many times that record would be broken in the next 8 or 9 days or something like that. So I resisted putting it into the travel news because I figured that they would already be talking about it all over the place. But yes,
they were.
The bottom line is you won't run into all 32 of those million, but if you're traveling in some cases, it will feel like you have. It's really... I try to, as a company, you know, Sports Leisure Vacations, we're a tour operator. And so, with some exceptions, we try to avoid major holidays, or we look for ways to get in where there's, you know, like if we go to the Rose Parade in Los Angeles, they have a system for groups and motor coaches and how they get them in and out and stuff like that, so that you don't get caught up in all of the morass that exists for an entire day. But those kinds of things can be a little difficult on occasion. You find yourself someplace, you go on the road, and a huge 4th of July celebration. We're going to talk a little bit about that, about the heat and when you're traveling and why it's important to kind of do your homework a little bit later on in the program. Hey, listen, we also should apologize to our listeners. We advertised during the week that Chris Elliott would be joining us today. And Chris, as you know, is not only a regular guest on our program, how lucky are we to have one of the greatest travel advocates on the planet be a regular with us. But Chris has been on a 4 or 5 year around the world, all over the place, and he's up somewhere in the high mountains of Europe. And we just couldn't, we tried several times to connect last week, and we just couldn't make it. So Chris will be with us next week. And also we're going to have the folks from the airport on to talk about the expansion plans out there and tell us about any new service that's popped up and anything else that you need to know if you are headed to the airport in the next couple months. Because as we mentioned, it's going to be crowded. Did we mention it's going to be crowded and parking is going to be at the airport? So go early.
Yeah. Yeah, at the top of the local TV recently as well. And by the way, we didn't promote, but we will have her on. Darla Givens, marketing director for the California State Fair, going to be here to join us on the Travel Guys around 11:35 this morning. So it'll stay tuned for that. In the meantime, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, here's Mark Hoffman.
This is kind of a fun little headline here. Delta CEO Ed Bastian foresees flying cars in the next decade. What an interesting thing for the CEO of an airline to comment on. He predicts that flying cars, specifically electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, could become a reality within the next decade. He says they're really cool. I think they're really exciting, and it could be done. Now, I'm just, you know, driving down Folsom Boulevard every day to and from between my home and my office. I see some pretty interesting things happen just on that little four-lane road with a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit and all. Can you even imagine people being able to take how far could you go without crashing anyway? That will be interesting. The whole cars in the sky, I'm sure that's coming. I mean, I'm certain that it's coming. It's just how it's going to work, of course. Again, just like electricity and the internet and all that kind of stuff, and people saying that'll never work. I'm sure that folks who said automobiles driving around at unknown speeds of 20, 30, 40 miles an hour, oh, that'll never work. So there you go. Demand for air travel doesn't translate into high profits. U.S. airline companies are reporting significantly narrower profit margins this summer as rising oil prices, employee shortages, weather-related disruptions, and may I suggest new contracts to employees that give them a lot more money and benefits have eaten into the profit margins for airlines. Doesn't say what they're going to do about it. You can guess. Anyway, airlines are making a little less money this year than they did previously, which might sort of indicate that the system is working the way it's supposed to. It's competition, folks. Speaking of airlines, Spirit Airlines is rolling out new flyer-friendly initiatives. We've told you about some of these, but a new round of customer service enhancements are coming. It's second in recent months. Future travel vouchers issued by Spirit will now be valid from a year. Previously, they were only valid for 90 days. Can you believe that? See, I don't fly Spirit, so I wouldn't have run into that. Checked bag allowance is being increased to 50 pounds from the previous allowance of 40. That move aligns Spirit with all other major U.S. carriers. So
right. Yep.
What these guys that had the cheap fares and, you know, you pay for everything after you bought the ticket sort of thing are finding that people are getting smarter. And what's going to happen here in just the 1st of July, all these rules take effect in California. Now they're going to have to tell you the price up front and what the add-ons might be up front. So somebody's going to look at that first screen on Spirit and say, well, you know, I mean, I can fly Southwest for $15 cheaper than I can take one bag and, you know, all this stuff on Spirit. So why would I do that on an airline that only runs, you know, every third Tuesday and every second Wednesday to destinations and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. So anyways, I think it's becoming harder and harder for Spirit and Frontier to set themselves apart because I think the public is wising up to the fact that all of these add-ons and things, people are just getting smarter, they're getting fed up with it, and they're realizing that in some cases the flashing light isn't really the price, and at the end of the day you might be better off with somebody that really actually is service oriented. Hey, listen, here's something that road reporter Clayton Whitehead passed on to me. The Hilton Hotel is closing in Oakland, downtown Oakland. They've been there over 50 years. And one of the reasons they gave was too much crime in their neighborhood. So, yipers.
Yikes.
Losing a major hotel downtown for a city like Oakland, that's and having them publicly say that's not really a good thing. Let's go across the bay for a minute to the airport on the other side of the water, where at SFO, all the terminals are now connected what they call airside via a walkway. So you can now walk the entire length of the Horseshoe Airport and not have to go through security. Before, if you were on one end and you want to get to the other end, most people weren't connecting that way. A few, though, perhaps. You would have had to go out through security and then go back in again. Now you can walk airside all around the airport. So next time you take the puddle jumper to San Francisco and you're stuck for 2.5 hours waiting for your connection, now you've got something to do.
Well, I hope they have those moving sidewalks because it's a long ways.
Yes, it is. It's about 3/4 of a mile to walk the length of the terminal. And, of course, if you started on one end and that's where your flight was leaving from, you would have to walk back. So remember that. Alaska Airlines flight attendants are bragging that they have a tentative record contract with the airline. They didn't say if it was a record contract for all flight attendants in the industry or if it was just a record contract for Alaska. Alaska has a reputation of paying just a little bit less than some of the other major carriers, so speculation is that this contract is going to bring at least their flight attendants in line with other flight attendants around the country. No update on the American situation where the flight attendants are threatening to strike. I got a cute email from one of our listeners this week who flies a lot of American Airlines and who commented on the story that we had on the news about the flight attendants in American going on strike. And he said, how would we know? Wow.
That's a shot.
That was a shot. Yeah, how would we know? California's Highway 99 is the deadliest route in the state. A new study finds that over a span of 5 years, nearly 90 people died annually in a total of over 400 deadly crashes. So I can see that. Have you traveled 99 recently at all? It's all I-5 now, I'm guessing. But
yeah, well, just depends on where you're going. No, from time to time, 99 used to be the main route between here and Modesto.
Yeah, that's true.
And Stockton, and in a lot of cases, Fresno, if you don't want to get all the way over to I-5. Mm-hmm. And it's an old highway. It's not well maintained. There's issues. It's not big and wide, and I can see that.
It's got a lot of those turnoffs right off the highway and turn-ons to the highway.
And also, you got to consider, they don't really talk about it in this story, but the fog is way, way worse and along 99, and imagine a lot of those crashes and such occur during the time of the year where you're socked in with that valley fog.
Well, and a comment here from some folks in San Joaquin County says that a lot of the problem is low visibility and speeding and the combination of the two. This county official in San Joaquin County commented and said he'd lived there for 73 years and says there needs to be more patrol. But he says, I don't know if there are enough highway patrol to keep speeders from racing down this highway all the time. So anyways, if you're driving 99 and you're thinking, wow, this highway doesn't seem as safe as some of the others I've been on, you would be right. And finally, from our headlines come the stories, Barcelona mayor reveals plan to ban tourist vacation rentals. Barcelona is tired of being overrun by people. Remember, this is the city that hosted the world in 1992 when it hosted the Summer Olympics. They are saying they're going to control the number of short-term rentals in the city. They say it's increased by 70% in the last 10 years, and the cost of buying a home has risen 40%. What's happening, Tom, in a lot of these major cities is that people are buying homes and turning them into vacation rentals. So now there's less inventory available for local people, which drives the cost of housing up.
Our friend Steve from Rudy's Hideaway has been in Barcelona in Spain. He went there for some Formula One racing. I saw some great pictures on Facebook, so he's having a great time. We will talk to him when he comes back and find out if the things that you just mentioned are prevalent and if it's something that he noticed, as well as other tips along the way.
Yeah, well, this vacation rental situation, this will not be the last time that you hear about this in regards to tourism-related things, because this is happening a lot. People are trying to make a buck. I don't necessarily blame them for that, but it's having repercussions by eliminating a lot of affordable housing in some of these cities, taking it off the market permanently, and that's going to cause some problems, I think, with local people that are going to create some conflicts with tourism. With travelers and with tourism officials. Okay, and finally, Southwest Airlines shakes up the entire world by changing their in-flight service. You know what they did?
Now what?
They changed the pretzels.
I hate pretzels.
You hate pretzels? Is that what you said?
I hate pretzels, yeah. I mean, only when I'm really desperate will I eat the little baggie with the pretzels. What did they change them for?
They're called Maui Monk pretzels. They are high-quality, vegan, non-GMO snacks made in the U.S. They have a little bit of everything. It says sweet, salty, and crunchy.
That sounds like
from
me.
An up-and-coming company that bakes its snacks with love. We think it's the perfect fit for the airline with heart and hope customers enjoy this exciting new flavor next time they fly Southwest.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. We will, when next time you fly, since you're not a pretzel guy, mm-hmm. we will look forward to your review of the new pretzels on Southwest.
You got it.
Okay. I'm sure you will be a very objective pretzel reviewer. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are the Travel Guys. Check us out, travelguysradio.com. I mentioned Rudy's Hideaway. By the way, have you ever gone out to dinner and you can't decide between the prime rib and the scampi?
Oh,
not very similar, but prime rib, scampi. Well, for two more days, tonight and tomorrow, it ends the end of the month, which is almost here. I'm going to remind you again, it's the prime rib and scampi special, where you get them both for $29.95. You don't have to pick. You can get them both. Prime rib and scampi, $29.95, only through this weekend. So check it out. Also, after that, of course, you can go to the $29.95 Travel Guys special 6-ounce lobster tail with the fixins. And Rudy's always a great place for lunch. And one of my favorite places just to hang out and have a cocktail.
I just have a question. I got to ask Steve, how the hell is he doing this for $30? I mean, how can you give? I'm sure it's a 6-ounce prime rib or something like that. But still, how could you do both of those or a 6-ounce lobster tail with the trimmings and stuff? He must not be making money on those deals.
Yeah, this is a loss leader. The loss leader. The prime rib and scampi.
Well,
Stealing.
I'll just loss lead my butt right down there then. If they're going to give it away, why? I'm up for that.
All right, Rudy's almost giving it away. That's it, guys. We got about 5 minutes, Mark, and we're going to try to make people smarter about traveling in weather, kind of like this.
Yeah, kind of like worse. This. Only, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you think it's warm here, people who have lived in other parts of the country. I was just in Chicago a week and a half ago. It wasn't killer weather because Chicago, windy city, we had a little wind and that helped tremendously. Without that wind, we'd have died.
Is it a warm breeze or is it a cool breeze? What do you got?
Depends on which way it's coming. If it's coming off the lake, then it's a cool breeze. If it's coming off the land side, then it's a warmer breeze, and we experience both. But I'll suggest you that even the warmer breeze is at least a breeze. Mm-hmm. Keeps things moving. But if you're going someplace, it's like imagine you were coming to Sacramento this week. You'd never been here before, and you didn't pay too much attention about the weather. You know, people tell you it's hot in Sacramento in the summertime. And you get here, and on consecutive days next week, they're predicting things like 105, 110, 112. It's going to be hotter than Hades all week next week. So you come here, and you think you're going to do X, Y, Z, and it's so hot that you're not in the mood to do those things. You didn't arrange your itinerary. You know, in Sacramento, we've talked about other destinations, same thing. Start your day earlier. Get up and do something. If you were going to go for a walk in the Botanical Gardens, if the Botanical Gardens opens at 8 in the morning, that's when you go. So that you get that out of the way before it becomes too hot and humid. You want to stay. I have a few tips for you here. We have posted this entire article, which is from our friends at Travelers United. A gentleman named Ed Levy, who writes for them and has for a long time, has penned a terrific article here about heat, so you can find it at travelguysradio.com. But basically, he reminds folks, you know, if you're in hot weather conditions, don't drink a lot of alcohol. Also, you might not think about this, but don't drink a lot of cola drinks, because they also tend to dehydrate you. Bring an insulated water bottle with you, and the type of clothing that you're wearing, where you're going during the day. Don't go someplace where there's going to be a huge line to get in, because maybe you're standing in the sun for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 2 hours, something like that you hadn't anticipated, and you're not only miserable, but you're getting sunburned, and there are other issues connected to that. So that's why we say do your weather homework a little bit, particularly if it's someplace that you've never been to. You've heard, I'm sure, people say, if you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. So it's something, if you're flying somewhere, you're going over the pond, that's going to take a lot of, you're going to become dehydrated from the flight and from the flight home. So you're going to arrive in Europe or wherever it is you're going, South America, whatever, you're already dehydrated. So you're already having to fight back to overcome what has happened to you on the air flight. But this is really important, because a lot of people who have heat strokes and end up in emergency rooms and this is happening more and more, particularly to elderly people, are people who didn't do their homework. So take a look at the weather for where you're going. If you're planning a trip, look at historical weather for that time of the year, and particularly with emphasis on the last 5 to 7 years, when things have warmed up. The weather's going to be a lot more unpredictable. Maybe you want to go on the shoulder season. In a lot of places where June used to be the shoulder season, it isn't anymore. May's the shoulder season now. So you may have to go at a time when the weather is a little bit more predictable, even if it's not quite as warm as you would like to see it. So doing your weather homework becomes increasingly important. We have AI now available to us to help us with travel planning. So when you talk to your AI and ask it to plan an itinerary for you, ask it about the weather. What a great idea.
Great idea. You know, the 4th of July doesn't have a shoulder season. So people that are traveling to Sacramento or going to destinations for the 4th of July, you know, those that are coming to Sacramento, hang out for the 4th, are going to be a real shocker when you get to Thursday and it's 106, 107, 108 degrees. And they want to walk a half a mile to an evening fireworks display or whatever it may be. So be careful out there, my friends.
Yeah, and also remember, in many foreign countries, air conditioning isn't as predominant as it is in the United States. So when you're renting a vacation rental, ask about air conditioning.
And as promised, it's time to update you on what to expect at this year's California State Fair. And with us is the media director and a know-all of all there is to know about the State Fair, our friend Darla Givens. Darla, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hey, Tom and Mark, how's things going?
Going well. Anxious to get out to the fair as usual. All right, Darla, let's start off with, let's talk about what's new for the 2024 fair.
Something really cute this year, the All-Alaskan Racing of Pigs. If you've never seen a pig race, it is the most hilarious thing. I think we might have some video on our website, right, Nate?
Yes, we do. Sure do.
Nate's one of our public relations assistants here. Also new this year is the Animation Academy. It's about CGI and just piquing kids' interest and developing storytelling through stop motion and computer-generated imagery techniques. We'll have an art battle. You'll have some artists that will have 30 minutes to create a picture to music. So they're going to be battling it out. So, and new this year also is a barbecue competition. You'll have some grill masters. They're going to light up their grills and go for that championship of the 2024 California State Fair Barbecue Champion. And it's the first time that we're doing that in the history of the fair this year. And also the high-speed rail exhibit. There's going to be in the expo building of what the future of this high-speed rail could look like. So that's going to be interesting for folks to come in and take a look at. Now, one of the things people come out to the fair for is to eat. They look for that unique fair food item, and we have a ton of new foods this year. We have Brian's Baked Potatoes. You can build your own baked potato. We also have a build-your-own sundae. You can get an ice cream sundae, single scoop or double scoop, and you can put all the toppings on it that you want at no extra charge. And we also have a build-your-own charcuterie board. You can pick from 6 different items, and you can take home the board that it comes on. So it's a little keepsake that you can have. Mm-hmm. And if you like cheese, the Monte Cristo sandwich, and they also, at that same stand, they have a big log of cheese. I'm talking about a 10.5 by 6.5 inch of deep-fried mozzarella cheese.
No, my.
We have a ton of new things this year, everything from new entertainment to food, and even some of our already established locations, they will have a new look. And it's hard to believe, but we are celebrating the 170th year of the California State Fair. Isn't that amazing?
By the way, if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Darla Givens, media director for the California State Fair, and going to be here before you know it, the 12th through the 28th mm-hmm. of July. Do you have a couple of key entertainers that you'd like to highlight this year?
Yes, we want to talk talk about the opening night. Every night of the fair, we do have a different entertainer. Kicking off opening night is All for One and Vanilla Ice. You remember Ice Ice Baby?
Oh, yeah.
Those were the two opening acts for that night. But all 17 days, we will have someone performing on the stage. We have Wilson Phillips, Cole Swindell, and, of course, a very popular Queen Nation. They cover all of Queen's songs. So we have something for everyone, from country to old school 90s rewind with Tone Loc, CC Music Factory, and Digital Underground.
The Beach Boys are going to be entertaining this year.
The Beach Boys will be there on Friday, July 26th. All the concerts are free, but we do have a portion that are for sale for $25. And where can you get a ticket for $25 to see one of your favorite bands? And here's the one thing I want to also say. Only buy the tickets from our box office or online. There are third-party ticket vendors out there, but they jack up the prices. And that's not what we intend to do here at the California State Fair. We want to make it as affordable as possible for families to come out and have a good time and enjoy and create those memories. So definitely go to our online sales, calexpostatefair.com, and go to tickets, and you can buy your tickets there or come to the box office without those ticket fees. And one thing too quickly, we have discount tickets on sale right now through July 11th. So you can get your family fun pack through July 11th, and that includes four admission tickets, four ride tickets or monorail rides, and a parking pass, and that's $49.99. So that's a good price to get in if you're trying to get in on the fair on a budget.
Excellent. Yeah, the packages, and here again, we'll have a link to the website at travelguysradio.com if you happen to be driving and you missed that. Travelguysradio.com, we'll have a link there. And Darla, in regards to it's going to be a hot summer, cooling yes. stations, going to be a lot of those available?
Yes, we have 13 air-conditioned buildings, and on top of that, we also have our Michelob Ultra Racetrack Grandstand, where you can go and watch 5 p.m. post time. So we're pushing the post time back, too, so it'll start to cool down in the day. And we're also looking at the wine garden. You can cool off there. And we do have our four Bonnie Plumbing cooling stations that you'll be able to go and just kind of lounge around and cool off. And the wine garden, you know, we have the very popular wine slushies.
Mm-hmm. All right, Darla, thank you. We'll look forward to chatting with you perhaps once more before when the fair starts to crank up and get going. In the meantime, though, thanks for spending some time with us here at the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
Well, what was your takeaway there, Mark? What caught your attention?
What a great interview. There are... You know, the fair is always... I've lived in Sacramento almost all of my life. I was at Cal Expo the day it opened.
The new Cal Expo.
The new Cal Expo. Governor Reagan was the guy.
Ronald Reagan. Yes, he was. And he was the one that cut the ribbon and all that.
Yeah.
Did you go to the old fair?
I did, on Stockton Boulevard, yes. And for many, 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 many years, Cal Expo was not even... You couldn't mention it in the same sentence with the old fair because people would throw things at you and stuff because they would say, oh, it's just a bunch of concrete buildings. But Cal Expo grew into itself. And the fair people have done a terrific job in recent years. And just listening to you, the two of you talking there, they've done a great job of creating still value. It doesn't cost $5 to get into the fair like it used to. But for what you're paying to get in and what you're getting when you get there, and they've got all these wonderful ride packages and stuff now that make it somewhat affordable for people to be able to go with families and the like. There's a lot of fun things there at the fair. So it's, and like I said, it's sort of uniquely Sacramento. It's something that has always belonged to us and always will belong to us. We are the capital city. And so don't go out in the heat of the day. Go at a time when it's a little cooler. Evening, you know, maybe you make two visits, but it's still the place to go. And I think that younger generations have accepted the Cal Expo as being just like the old fair was out on Stockton Boulevard.
There's a lot of folks, as you mentioned. It's been a lot of years since the Cal Expo opened and took over for the old fairgrounds off of Stockton Boulevard. So there's a large share of people that that don't make that connection. So Cal Expo and that state fair is their fair.
50 years. 50.
50.
Yeah,
oh my
gosh. Does that make you feel old? But
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That it's been over 50 years since the old fair closed. So anybody who is under the age of 55 or 60, even if you've lived here all of your life, you don't know anything besides. Anyways, what a great job they have done of turning that into a showcase for the state of California, which is the purpose of the state fair, and a showcase for Sacramento, and showing that you in Sacramento. There's something really fun to do, and it's really cool, and there's a lot of different aspects to it. And gosh, the lineup of entertainment I was looking online is pretty darn interesting, and the prices are incredibly reasonable. So anyways, that's my endorsement.
Yeah, the quality of acts get better every year, it seems. And the nice thing is that you don't have to pay to see the acts. You can watch on the perimeter for free. If you want to sit in a seat, then there's a small fee. I think it's $25, as she mentioned. Unfortunately, acts like the Beach Boys gone like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But otherwise, they're free shows. By the way, ever been to a pig race?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
No, I have. Oh, yeah, yeah. The San Antonio Rodeo. We all went there for quite a bit when my daughter was still living there. And I didn't ask Darla about this, but the pig races there are little small wiener pigs. They're little tinies. They're baby pigs,
which
makes it a lot more exciting than watching full-grown pigs that race in a larger area. But, yeah, it's quite a treat. A lot of fun.
In addition to making you a smarter traveler. You will not know, we'll never hear anywhere else on the radio someone tell you the different types of pigs, including weenie pigs, and all of the other descriptions that my friend Tom, who is from Modesto, which is showing just a little bit there in the last couple.
Well, I was an FFA boy.
Really?
grew up on a farm, and I raised livestock. I had sheep, I had beef cattle.
Uh-huh.
And showed at all of the fairs, including the state fair. And so all of that, particularly the FFA and the 4-H, is really, really deeply embedded in my heart. And that's what fairs, for a lot of folks, that's what it's all about,
sure,
is the livestock and the young people exhibiting their animals and people walking around and seeing what goes on. And they still have lots and lots of that, that's for sure.
So like Stanislaus County Fair and stuff like that? Was that your
absolutely
old stomping grounds?
Down in Modesto, Stanislaus County Fair there out in Turlock was the one that we always went to. And also Cow Palace, but that was in the winter time. And then, of course, the California State Fair, which was a lot of fun.
My friend, you and I have known each other a long time, and I knew you grew up on a farm, but I didn't know all of those interesting things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was an Aggie, no doubt about it. Find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Podcasts available there of previous shows, as well as at iHeartRadio and at the KFBK website. So
We're over the place.
I know. It's horrible.
For those who listen to the program, the important takeaway from all of that is that if you can't be here at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning every week, which most people can't, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com or iHeartRadio, and you can hear the podcast, which has the news and commercials eliminated from it. Right? Is the iHeart podcast like that, too?
Except most of them do. Except for your news at the top of the show, which is the travel news, which if you wait too awfully long to listen to the podcast, becomes no longer news. You're kind of like a newspaper. It's history.
There you go. But it comes down to about 43 or 44 minutes total. So if you don't get to listen to us live, you can always listen to us on tape, or you can fall asleep listening to the Travel Guys, which I'm sure a lot of people do. Hey, listen, I'm going to take some editorial liberty here, and I'm going to switch our last two stories. because the one about the road trips is kind of interesting, yeah, but this is way more important. We've talked about this whole problem with disabled people in wheelchairs in the airport, and the bottom line is people who have figured out that they can game the system on some carriers, specifically Southwest and Frontier Airlines, who have strict boarding ways of boarding, and you pay in order to board earlier. And so people in wheelchairs get to board much earlier than many of these people who pay. So if you can figure out a way, if you're an older person particularly, or you can walk with a convincing limp or whatever it is, you can get yourself into that. You don't have to prove that you're a member of that group. You can just go up and say, hey, I need to board ahead of time, and they allow you to. And what this does, particularly for the people who use wheelchairs to do this, is it ties those chairs up for a lot of time. There has to be an attendant or a staff member, someone to push the wheelchair to the gate, make sure the person gets safely on board the airplane, all of that stuff that goes with it. Some of the people who use these services truly need them. Many people who use these services use them as a way to get on the airplane early. Then they are miraculously cured while they're flying, and they walk off the aircraft at the other end. This also causes another problem. There are wheelchairs waiting for them on the other end because the airline doesn't know that they're going to be cured and walk off on the other side. They don't
miracle
know that,
flight.
They don't know that they needed 9 wheelchairs on the outbound, but when the plane lands in Philadelphia, they'll only need 3. So this creates those wheelchairs in attendance have to be waiting for people when they get off the plane, which makes them unavailable to other people who need them. Imagine that you and your mother are traveling together, and mom needs a wheelchair to get on board, and so that all works fine on the outbound. And when you get to the connecting city, you've got an hour to connect to your flight. There's no wheelchair for mom, and the connecting gate is way too far for her to walk, and besides, she probably needs to use the facilities. And she waits 20 minutes go by, and there's still no wheelchair. The reason there's no wheelchair for mom is because all these other idiots have used wheelchairs on their outbound flights, and all the wheelchairs are tied up waiting for them, and they're not going to use them when their flight lands. So in addition to the cost, the CEO at Frontier Airlines says it costs them about $35 every time somebody requests a wheelchair. So never mind the cost. A lot of people don't really care if the airline's out $35, but you might be taking that wheelchair away from somebody who really needs it and screwing up their travel plans because so that it's all about you can get on the airplane early wherever you are. So I just, for those people who use that to game the system, figure out another way to game the system, please, because this is not working well for everybody else. And it's really a problem. And the other thing is, when legitimate people get on in wheelchairs, let's say there happens to be half a dozen people on a flight that need a wheelchair to board. Well, other people standing in line are looking at them and going, yeah, I wonder if those people really need a wheelchair or not, because they've seen this happen before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really unfair to everyone. So for those of you who are using that system to get on board early, I really would ask that you just personally take a look at things and kind of consider the possibility that you're really causing a ripple effect throughout the system that's not only costing a lot of money, but it's messing up a lot of travel plans, and you're making it impossible for people who really need these services to get them. And I promise not to mention this again for a while, but because I know I've mentioned it before, but it really is a problem. And it really could be solved if a few selfish people, and if the people who know them would shame them a little bit, then this problem would go away. Thank you for listening again.
There you go. And that's not just one man's opinion, by the way.
Yeah.
I would like to, I'm going to bother to talk to a wheelchair pusher person at the airport one of these days when we both have a little spare time, and ask them if they've observed this and ask them their opinion. I won't stick a mic in front of their face when I do it, and just see what their thoughts are. I'm sure they have them.
They will tell you that people who legitimately need wheelchairs tend to extend a gratuity to the wheelchair pusher. People who don't really need a wheelchair tend not to. So not only are you tying up this minimum wage employee for a length of time, but now you've cost them the opportunity to get a gratuity. So add that to my list of complaints. Listen, I have one other story here that I thought was kind of interesting, just because those of us who live in California, our state is long and skinny. So in order to go from the desert to the ocean to the redwoods, to all of to the Sierra, we have to move around a lot, maybe get on an airplane, drive a long distance in an automobile. But the point is, there are a lot of great places to go to road trips in California. I'm taking in a week and a half over to the coast for 3 days to Fort Bragg. So to get out of the heat of the valley for a few days, it's possible to do that. But in comparison to other states, where do we fall? The Wallet Hub people have a really interesting way of doing this because they take into consideration things that other people wouldn't when they make up their list of bests and worsts. So California, they decided to have the number one, the most places to see and do, the most things you can do on a road trip of any state in the union.
I can believe that.
That's quite a compliment. Yeah, it doesn't sound all that completely outlandish. But also, we have, when it comes to gas prices, guess where we land between 1 and 50 on gasoline prices?
Yeah, like 1?
One, yes. Or 50, depending on which way of the list you're going.
Oh, well, yeah. We're the most expensive.
We have the most expensive gasoline. The average gasoline price in the country right now is $3.45 a gallon. So would you not be thrilled if you got up tomorrow morning and drove by your local service station and saw that the gas was it cost $3.45? You'd probably stop and fill up even if you didn't need to. So,
you know, yeah, well, but you got to take into consideration that California's gas makes your car go further. Not.
So these folks said costs of getting around is a third of how they put people on this list. So cost of a 3-star hotel room, cost of camping, cost of vacation rentals. By the way, California has more places to camp than any other place in the country, and also we are the most expensive place to camp than any other place in the country. So they give safety 33 points, and they give activity 33 points. We land 43rd on the safety list out of 50 states. So and last in gas prices, so that causes us to be ranked 43rd out of 50 states. So even though we have the most places to camp and the most places to go and see because of the cost of going to those places compared to folks who get around the country, know this, even in Chicago where gas was ridiculously priced in the city, it was still 20 cents cheaper than it was down the street here in Rancho Cordova. So, and if you got out of the city, it was almost a dollar cheaper in Illinois. So, anyhow, if you're thinking about a road trip in California, the good news is you have a lot of choices. The bad news is just about it, like everything else in California, it's going to cost you a little bit more or a lot more.
Well, there you go. Well, makes sense, you know, but people that live in California kind of have grown used to that.
Yes.
It's kind of like the cost of living here. Those that got tired of it no longer live here. All right, next week on the Travel Guys, we got a lot of good stuff. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we didn't have Chris Elliott today, but we plan to have him next weekend. We've got an interview with the folks out at the airport. We're going to find out how the projects are going out there and lots more. I think we're even going to talk about job opportunities with the airport.
Absolutely. So we have some really good stuff next week. Once again, invest an hour with us. We'll make you a smarter traveler. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next Saturday at 11.